All right. Thanks, Larry. I'm sure everybody's ready to move on to happy hour or whatever's remaining for the evening. But, you know, what we've looked at before on earlier presentations, you know, producers can be a member of a pilot and check some little boxes saying they're willing to share their data with that pilot. And somebody like me as a pilot administrator, or Miranda or Andy or Lori, we can go in and accumulate that data and look at that. But from a producer standpoint, if we're not part of a pilot, we go in, basically we just see our field. And looking at this data, you know, this does an excellent job of summarizing what's going on in the field. But, you know, with what Andy talked about earlier with cotton leaves and the two main words that we want to take home with this is continual improvement. And so when we look at an overview of the footprint calculator, what do we see? You know, we see the national, on this one, we see the national average and the state average. Well, who is the national average? You know, there's not anybody out there that's the national average. When we go in, you know, we've got national average, state averages, and sometimes there's county averages on there. I know the footprint calculator are working on, instead of using a national average, how do you compare to your crop reporting district average? And maybe even looking at a moving 5-year Olympic average. Because I think right now there's not very many different years that we use for national average. I think there's some groups of years, 4 or 5 groups of years, we use the same national average on all those. And that's not going to, it really doesn't give us an exact picture. It's kind of relative, I guess. But again, as a producer, not in a pilot, I want to go in and look to see what's going on as far as, again, continuous improvement, what's on here. You know, if I'm going to be able to go on here and to tell if I'm continually to improve my situation, I need to answer these questions. You know, am I getting better? And what do I need to do to get better? And so I think those are some things that we need to look at. I think those are some things, you know, and when we look in a pilot, we can really, you know, have a very good way to tell how you compare to your neighbors. But when we look at a multi-year evaluation, you know, it's very difficult to do this. You know, the pilots, you can put multiple years in, and I think they're in a process of trying to get to where you can go in and put as many as 10 years in. But Amanda, you know, we kind of run into issues when we try to put, what, more than 7 years in. She was my data entry person. But, you know, there's certainly some issues to address. So as an agronomist, you know, looking at this, you know, what do agronomists do? The best thing they do is take stuff to the field. So I went to a field, to a grower that I worked with over time. This is images of 2006 when I was working with a particular grower. But went with him. He keeps very detailed records. He used FarmWorks program to do this. He can go to a particular field and look at a spray operation. He can say, okay, this is how many ounces of these products put in, and this is the driver for that. And this is when, you know, he has very specific very specific records. So he just downloaded the whole thing. He said, here's 10 years. Take it and do with whatever you want. So I wanted to go in. I picked one field, and I picked a field that, when I was in extension before I went to the council and then come back this last year, it's the same, very same field that I've done variety tests in over a number of years. And so I did that because I have personal experience in the field. I've got a really good working relationship with the producer and his consultant, and we have detailed records. So I wanted to go in and see how do I compare over time in the same field. And again, this is just one field. I don't know how this will carry forth, and, you know, if we looked at more fields, but for the purpose of this talk, we just looked at one field. So here's kind of the results that I found. You see, right off, you see, I don't have 10 years of data on here. This is a field that was pretty much all cotton, but in 2006, he was working on the end gun on his pivot and fell off the pivot, broke his back. And so 2006 records, 2007 records are not very complete, and so we don't have those years. So basically ended up with 8 years of records on this guy's farm. But you can see kind of how the yield ranged. across time, soil erosion in terms of tons per acre, soil carbon, soil conditioning index. But again, this is kind of a summary of that. I'd like to kind of focus on things that I saw in there. If you look at these are things that we saw very little to no change in over time. Soil erosion, not much change. There is one change in here, one step, and I can't remember off the top of my head what that was. But anyway, you see very small changes in soil erosion. Soil conditioning index, this is as bad as you can get. Very high rates of tillage, no cover crops. But again, no change. Water quality index, very little changes. Some of those things, as far as fixes on that, there's some things we can do. And, you know, when we talked about continual improvement, Andy talked about that a while ago. I think some of the other speakers did, too. How's the easiest way to show continual improvement? Continue to increase yields. That works on one end. But then if we're more efficient on with our irrigation, like Miranda was talking about, then we can shrink our footprint from that end, too. So, again, with these, what's the solution? You know, it's kind of a one-time solution. But basically, to reduce the tillage in this particular situation and use a cover crop, that's going to have a tremendous impact on soil erosion and soil carbon and edge of field water quality. That's going to have a tremendous impact on that. Now, let's look at some things that really aren't in our control. And number one is weather. Here, let's look at this. I've got irrigation amount. This is how many inches of water you put out. And here is the rainfall. I went to the internet and pulled seasonal rainfall. So I've got May 1 through November 1 rainfall for the season and put that in. And just for kind of kicks, Andy and I had done some things with some of the pilot data where we were looking at rainfall plus irrigation to try to get groups of people from different parts of the country trying to be able to identify those. So I went ahead and added rainfall plus irrigation. But again, when we look at this, saw kind of an interesting trend. That basically, the wetter it was, the worse the yields were. You know, when you look at rainfall plus irrigation, yields tended to go down. There was a little bit of bump to come up as we went from a 20 inches total. And you know, this, I don't know if these are outliers, but that's kind of the general trend I saw. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know how to interpret that, but I don't want to share that with y'all. But again, you know, let's look at the 2 years we had significant amount of irrigation. Here's 9.7 inches and 8.2 inches compared to the other years. Those are the top 2 years on energy, top 2 years on greenhouse gas. So again, when we have to irrigate a lot, that's gonna help improve our yields. But again, that's gonna work on increasing greenhouse gas and yield. So, you know, it might trade off to where Lori was saying, you know, the least amount of energy per pound was on the irrigated compared to the dry land at 1 year. Also in here, look at this. 1 year, almost 40 inches of rainfall. That was the highest amount of rainfall in the year. That's the lowest yield on cotton. And so, you know, there's a lot of things, variability from year to year with rainfall. And, you know, when we talk about weather, we've got rainfall. A lot of times when we have rainfall, we have a lot of cloudy weather. And you know what the impact that has on fruit retention and temperature. So there's a lot of things that tag along with that. And so there's things that are in our control that we can do to kind of work. You know, we know we need to improve yield, but some things we can do and that are in our control and some things that necessarily aren't in our control. So, you know, looked at this again, thinking on what do I need to do to get better. And we talked about some of those things, improving, you know, reducing tillage, putting in cover crop. There's some of those things. But am I getting better over time? Looking at that one field, am I getting better? So I thought, you know, we talked about, or the field print calculator people have talked about, going in and looking at a five-year moving Olympic average. So I thought, okay, we have a field. I have 8 years of data. Well, let's look at a five-year Olympic moving average, however you say it, over time and see, am I getting better over time? So I pulled a table together and look at this. And so when we look at 2012, and think back on the years, this is in Arkansas. 2012 was a very dry year. In fact, my banker, I still owe my banker money for making the decision to stay in the mama cow business in 2012. A lot of our neighbors sold our cows. You know, it was a very dry year. It was a tough year. But if we look at the 5 years previous to that, throwing out the high, throwing out the low, and looking at each individual metric, in 2012 was worse in terms of yield, and so we colored that red. If it was the same, we colored those yellow. If we were better, I gave it a green. So 2012, if we look at that, am I getting better over time through the previous 5 years? That particular year I wasn't, but that was a very tough year. Go to the next year, 2013. Again, just from the same field. Look across here, a lot different story. 2013, 2014, I'm either better or the same in all the different metrics that we looked at. So I don't know if maybe there's a way that we can look at that, and I don't know, do we need to look at it, you know, a comparison like this, the last 2 out of 3 years? Are we getting better, or look at each individual year? I don't know the best way to do this, but there's a people a lot smarter than I am working with a calculator that I think can figure that out. But in terms of looking at this, is a producer to get on there, if I'm going to use this for continuous improvement, I need to have a way to grade myself over time. And so, you know, recommendations that I'd have for this, I've got a set of recommendations for the producer. And one is, you know, we need to reduce tillage. We need to get as close to no-till as we can. We need to utilize cover crop. And I think use a lowering silt loam, have a frangipan. pH, you know, on the top 6 inches is generally 5.4 to 5.8. You get down from the six-inch mark down to the 1 foot mark, and it's not uncommon for pH to be 4.8, sometimes 4.5, and that's just a very harsh environment. Aluminum toxicity. We do not have effective rooting down in that bottom half of the first foot, so we are growing our cotton plant in the top 6 inches, and then with the lowering silt loam, the water runs off. A lot of times on his pivots, if he puts out more than a half an inch of water, it runs out at the bottom of the field. So a lot of times he'll make 2 circles putting out a half an inch, and that's kind of the best he can do on irrigation. But I think if we go in and look at reduced tillage, utilizing a cover crop, we're going to improve irrigation water use efficiency. Now, how much that's going to help with our growing plant in top 6 inches, that is so different than growing cotton on the high plains. But there's some things I think that the producer can do. Now, the field to market, again, I would like to applaud and encourage them to continue to move as quick as they can to incorporate the crop reporting district average that you can compare yourself to. I think that'll be a lot more meaningful and useful for a producer to look at. But I'd like to see some way to incorporate a 5-year moving Olympic average comparison of individual fields in the output when sufficient data exists. You know, when you have 8 years of data in there, I would like to be able to see, you know, was this year better than that previous 5? And then along with this, we talked about the supply chain wants this type of information to back up their claims. But there are some things about this that give me a little bit of heartburn. Because, you know, for me, I need to have access and look at the raw numbers to know where I need to go. But a Walmart or a Haynes or the Fruit of Loom or Gap, there's a lot of numbers on there that I don't think they need to have. And so I would like, you know, we've got growers in Arkansas that have done very well with non-GMO cotton, conventional cotton. And some of them may want to try to develop a market growing like the UA222s. It yields as really well. In fact, one grower in central Arkansas felt like he had $75 to $80 an acre less in his UA222 as compared to others. And so there may be a potential for us to help market our non-GMO cotton. I know from the birds standpoint with chickens, there's a small poultry processor, Ozark Mountain Poultry in Batesville, Arkansas. They know they're not big enough to compete against the Tyson, but they're going to run a line of birds that are fed non-GMO feed. And so they're working with farmers to get non-GMO corn, non-GMO soybeans, and they're paying a pretty good premium for that. So there might be a potential that for kind of a niche market for some of our producers, we could come up with something like that. But if as a producer myself, if I get on here and I run this, I would really like to have an output that I could share with a customer that bought my product or with the supply chain to let them know, The last 2 out of 3 years that I'm better than I was compared to the 5 years before that, or however is the best way to explain that. But we need to have some type of output to do that. And with that, I guess everything's is pretty in pink. But again, I want to thank Cotton Incorporated for help funding some of this work, and I think this is something that, sometimes when we sit back and look, think, why are we doing this, and why is the adoption rate low? Well, this is really kind of a different way to look at things than what we've ever looked at before. And I think when producers really start to understand this and they see the benefit, then I think our adoption rate will increase. But again, thank y'all for your time. Yeah, right. And so that's one thing when we look at this, you put your irrigated yield in and the amount of inches that you applied, and then you put in what your yield would have been if you had not irrigated. If it's a wet year, then that number will be a lot lower. If it's a dry year, that's saying it backwards. But anyway, we kind of take that into account some with that, but that is a good point. I appreciate that. All right. Okay. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And we do look at things on a per acre basis, but again, I do share some of your concerns, because some of the farmers that we work with, there's a privacy agreement and all that, but there's so many times that things have come back and been used against them. They're leery of participating in some of these things. But water use efficiency, I talked about, the improvement cotton has made. We are so much more efficient with water, and a lot of that is because our yields have gone up, but we are using less water too. And how many years ago was it that we were talking about, we're on a yield plateau, we're stuck, our yields are not going to go up, and then the new technology comes along and then they go up. But we are very dependent on new technologies coming down the road.